and the church is caught up, you know what that will be up there? It will be the marriage supper of the Lamb, followed by the judgment of believers, or whichever way there is. But up there, while they are having the 7-year period down here, we will be having the judgment of believers up there. Now the judgment of believers is not for salvation, but it's for reward. But there's plenty to do. There are billions and billions of believers in Jesus Christ. And there will be the judgment of believers, as Paul said, will take place in the book of Corinthians. That we were all, talking about Christians, we were all had to stand at the judgment seat and give account of our lives. Every single one of us. That's an awesome thought. We need to know there is a judgment for our life. Your life and my life are borrowed. We have to account to it to God. All that we do, which is why we need to understand the position of wealth and finances on this world. They are only instruments wherewith your life could be a greater blessing to others. So that everything, know that God wants to meet all your needs, and then God wants to supply beyond your needs, so that you will have an instrument to be a blessing to people. Now here comes the judgment on this earth. While we are being judged up there, and then Jesus Christ will come together with us at the end of the 7-year period, he'll land on this earth on the Mount of Olives. Immediately after that will be the official second coming to the church, second coming for the nation of Israel. Immediately when he lands, it's all judgment again. It's a sober thought. The coming of Jesus is the judgment of God. And the moment he lands, there will be the judgment of the 12 tribes of Israel, followed by the judgment of nations, as all nations will be called to stand before him. Everything has an accounting to Almighty God. Now let's look over to the book of Isaiah, chapter 61. Jesus Christ in Luke chapter 4 verse 18 quoted the first part of this verse. And Jesus Christ quoted from chapter 61 verse 1 up to chapter 61 verse 2a. See, Jesus in Luke 4 verse 18 says, "The Spirit of the Lord God is upon me, because the Lord has anointed me to preach good tidings to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives, the opening of the prison to them who are bound, to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord." Full stop. But there's no full stop. But Jesus stopped right in the middle of a sentence. Why? Because the other part in verse 2 is for the second coming, not for his first coming. The second part says, "And the day of vengeance of our God." The second coming is for judgment. The book of Thessalonians, let's look at the book of Thessalonians. We are showing from the scriptures the second coming of Jesus. They all points to the judgment. In 2 Thessalonians chapter 1 verse 7-9, "And to give you," chapter 1 verse 7-9, 2 Thessalonians, "and to give you who are troubled rest with us, when the Lord Jesus is revealed from heaven with his mighty angels in flaming fire, taking vengeance on those who do not know God and on those who do not obey the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. These shall be punished with everlasting destruction from the presence of the Lord and from the glory of his power, when he comes in that day to be glorified in his saints and to be admired by all those who believe, because our testimony among you was believed. Doesn't he emphasize his second coming is not for redemption? His second coming is for the judgment. And the moment he comes in the rapture, there is a judgment taking place. He comes in the second coming on this earth, there is a judgment coming. There are many times of judgment, but the judgment taking place. There is the judgment of believers. There is the judgment of nations. There is the great white throne judgment. So there are different types of judgment. And it all comes, and the era of judgment comes when Jesus comes again. Now we are in the dispensation of grace. We are in the dispensation of grace. God's long suffering. The period of God's long suffering. And we need to take note of the period we are in. Don't get complacent, but to rise up and begin to speak forth and share forth the love of our God. Because God's love must be complemented with God's holiness. His love is holy. So His love will reach to a point where His holiness has to step in and He has to act as the judge of the universe. And we need to take heed of that. In the book of Micah, chapter 4, from verse 2, where it says, "Come and let us go to the mountain," they are the same prophecies as Isaiah chapter 2. Let's look at Isaiah chapter 2. You can see the similarity there. Verse 2 and 3. "Now it shall come to pass in the latter days that the mountain of the Lord's house shall be established on the top of the mountains and shall be exalted above the hills, and all nations shall flow to it. Many people shall come and say, 'Come and let us go up to the mountain of the Lord, to the house of the God of Jacob. He will teach us his ways, and we shall walk in his paths, and out of Zion shall go forth the law and the word of the Lord from Jerusalem. He shall judge between the nations and shall rebuke many peoples. They shall beat their swords into plowshares and their spears into pruning hooks. Nations shall not live up sword against nation, neither shall they learn war anymore.'" When Jesus comes and reigns on this earth for the 1,000 years. So we realize that's the grace, and that's also the mercy of God. Now, if you're thinking and saying, how is this balanced with the message of the gospel? I want you to know this is the same gospel that Paul preached. In the book of Acts, let's look at the book of Acts. And as Paul stood before Agrippa, he says here, in chapter 26, verse 22, "Therefore, having obtained help from God to this day, I stand witnessing both to small and great, saying no other things than those which the prophets and Moses said would come, that the Christ would suffer, that he would be the first to rise from the dead, and will proclaim light to the Jewish people and to the Gentiles." And of course, Agrippa thinks that he's mad. But these are the things that he mentioned. These are the details. Look at chapter 24, verse 25. "Now, as he reasoned about righteousness, self-control, and the judgment to come, Felix was afraid and answered, 'Go away for now. When I have a convenient time, I will call for you.'" Look, it's part of Paul's gospel. His gospel, it tells us here, he reasoned about righteousness, self-control, and the judgment to come. We all need to know that there is a judgment to come. And we need to
we need not water down that part of the message. It is included in the book of Hebrews under the elementary principles that every believer must be aware of. In the book of Hebrews chapter 6. These are called the elementary principles in verse 1. Chapter 6 verse 1, Hebrews. Therefore, leaving the discussion on the elementary principles of Christ, let's go to perfection. Not laying again the foundation of repentance, of dead works and of faith towards God, of the doctrine of baptisms, of laying on our hands, of resurrection of the dead, and of eternal judgment. It's one of the basic principles in which all of us need to live in the fear of God, to understand that at the same time, in God's generosity and in His love, we get His blessing, but there is also accountability for every blessing we receive. We will have to account not only for our works, but also every blessing that He puts in our hand, where perhaps He blesses you in many areas, perhaps in wealth, perhaps in authority, perhaps in influence, and in different areas. We will have to account how we use it to bring glory to God and how we use it to help our fellow men, so that whatever you have becomes a medium by which others come to know God and others become blessed, not cursed. That's what the judgment is about. The judgment is to put into our lives to realize that every one of us came into this world without any wealth. You were born naked, without any position. No matter who your parents are, you only inherited it from them if you really were born with a golden spoon, or you didn't have any. But when all of us came into this world, we came as a helpless, naked, little infant, without a title to our name. And sometimes we meet all kinds of people. I met one man who has now been turned on to God, but he told me his former life. He said, before he knew God, he was a proud, intellectual man. Until one day he met Jesus and he was changed. But as I look at him, the thought that came to me is, what, long, long ago, when he was born, before he ever had an education, he was not like this. You see, when we were born, we don't have a position, we don't have a status, we don't have wealth. We don't have anything. All we have was the life. And everything that we have in this life cannot be taken back. Do you know that? You cannot take your doctorate to heaven. You cannot take your wealth to heaven. You cannot take your possessions to heaven. The only thing you take back is the way and the works you did through using the authority that you can't take back for good. And that became a star for you. The wealth that you cannot take back, you use it to bless others. Jesus says, great is your reward in heaven. The influence that you have, that you use it for good and to help others, that is taken back into consideration. Become your rewards in heaven. That's what Micah speaks to us as we look into this book. Jonah speaks about mercy. Micah speaks about judgment. So we got two of them. Last week we got pampered. This week we got spanked. So we realize that as we move on in chapter 5, he tells us here in verse 4 and verse 5, and he shall stand and feed his flock in the strength of the Lord, in the majesty of the name of the Lord his God. And they shall abide, for now he shall be great. to the ends of the earth, and this one shall be peace. Now these are the five principles advocated by Micah in the eschatological age. Number one, Jesus is going to come. Number two, Jesus will gather unto Him. Number three, Jesus will judge. Number four, He will begin to teach. Number five, He will begin to feed. You can see the positive promises in each scripture. These